Warner's solicitors provide advice on a range of legal matters to individuals, families, and businesses. The leading legal directories regularly recognize Warner's as offering some of the best legal advice in the region. This series of podcasts will give you an insight into some of the legal issues that may affect you and your family.
A very warm welcome to another podcast episode with Warner's Law. I'm Paul Harvey, and today I have the pleasure of Louise Brenland, who is a partner at Warner's Law, joining me for this podcast. Louise has been appointed to head up the employment law team. Louise, a very warm welcome to you.
Thank you, Paul.
Good to have you with me today. Louise, as you are new to the firm, could you please tell us a bit about your role here at Warner's?
Of course, thank you for asking. So, Paul, I've joined Warner's, as you've mentioned, as a partner and head of the employment team. It's a really exciting time at the moment for Warner's because there's lots of expansion and growth going on, which is part of the reason that I've joined here. Basically, this is a really amazing opportunity for me to expand upon the employment advice that Warner's are already providing. So I'm here to really shape and drive the employment team, build upon that advice that's already being provided to clients, and bring in my experience and specialism, which I've built over the last 18 years in employment law and HR. So I'm really going to build upon this offering, build upon the team, and hopefully make a wider experience for current clients and new clients of the firm. I am really excited, as I say, to be doing this because Warner's way and the way that they work with clients is really sort of close to my heart. They have close client relationships, provide really sound and pragmatic advice, and that's a way that I like to work. I really like to build on my client relationships, make sure that I understand clients, the way that they work. It's particularly important with employment and HR issues, as you might imagine, to be able to do that and really understand clients. So that's something I'm really going to drive forward in my role here, making sure that we provide practical, cost-effective advice and solutions.
So you mentioned that you've got 18 years experience in employment law. Did COVID change the shape of employment law?
In some ways, yes. So as you might imagine, for employment lawyers, none of us were furloughed. We were very, very busy. It was a strange time, I would say, in terms of employment law has always been fairly black and white with some grey areas, but the introduction of COVID made things a lot greyer. One of the things I like to do with clients is to be able to give them sound advice and structure on how to proceed. What happens with COVID is that made it very difficult, and it was a bit of try this, try that. And so it changed things in that way, and it certainly had a knock-on effect in terms of what we're seeing now in employment law.
And do you actually specialise in any particular sector, Louise?
So yes, so I work in a number of sectors and I really enjoy, and I think it's really important to work in different sectors. So I've had experience in agriculture, construction, creative industries, food and drink. I've been seconded in the construction industry as well, which is really important to me and to my work. But I've really developed a specialism with the education sector. That's something that's really developed over the last couple of years, and I found a real passion for working within that sector. I think the reason I like that is because the landscape within education can change quite rapidly. You never know what you're going to get. There's lots of different people involved in that, from the, you know, head teachers, senior leaders, CEOs, trustees. You're working with a really wide range of people, plus you're having to take into account the pupils, which are always really important, and their parents. So it's a really interesting place to be working in, a sector to work with.
That's interesting. I suppose schools in some way are kind of businesses in their own right, aren't they?
Well, they've had to develop that way. So I think, you know, particularly with multi-academy trusts and how they're growing, and obviously the government's encouraging that, it never used to be the case. But yes, schools absolutely now are businesses and need to be looking at themselves and dealing with themselves as a business.
Which means that they're evolving in that process right now, aren't they? You mentioned about these kind of trusts that are set up and schools merging together. That must be very interesting for you.
Yes, it brings all sorts of complexities with it. So the transfer of undertakings, CHUPE, as it's more commonly known to many, is a big issue when we come to these things. But I think at the heart of this, you've always got to remember and that there are individuals involved and people involved. So as much as I can say this is the law and this is what you need to do, it's really important to remember that you've got these individuals and the effect that that has. So I like to work really closely again with clients, as I said before, in making sure that that's effective, that you're on the ground and I'm not just a person that's on the line talking to senior people. I will go in and be present at those meetings. I can explain to individuals what's happening, and I think that's a really important ethos for schools to adapt as well.
Well, you must be a very busy person, Louise. I mean, there's so many good schools around Warners, whether in, you know, private schools or state schools, and there's a lot of construction going on as well, so you must be rushed off your feet. But do you have any other roles outside of Warners that you want to expand on?
Yes, so I think it's really important to do things outside of work. So I do some volunteer roles. So I've been a governor for 4 years, previously at a single academy trust, and then I was very much part of them becoming part of a multi-academy trust. But more recently, in the last couple of years, I'm now trustee and director at the Rivermead Inclusive Trust. And I also sit on their finance, risk and audit committee. And again, I work with them because of their passion and their ethos. So they're a multi-academy trust. They've got 4 schools and a special school. And they work with a lot of children with special educational needs. And they're very much about equality for all, both their learners and staff alike. And they really strive to look after their pupils and their staff as well, which is an ethos that I really like to embrace, and so I really enjoy working with them. Apart from that, I'm also vice chair of the Rochester Cathedral Business Guild, so that's a really interesting group that gets together regularly, brings businesses in the Kent and Medway area together to discuss and share ideas, practice and ethics. That was really helpful, as you mentioned earlier, with the COVID and how we deal with things and what different businesses are doing and sharing ideas. So that's a really good group to be part of, and I really enjoy leading on that. And I mustn't forget, I'm also a mum of 2 boys, so...
Louise, I was going to say, what do you do in your spare time? But, you know, I've got a feeling that there isn't much left.
No, you're right. There's not much spare time, but I do enjoy playing netball. So I try to do that on a regular basis, and I'm part of 2 teams. And I do manage to squeeze that in, and I miss it if I don't get to play regularly. So, yes, netball is my my key.
Would you say you're a competitive person?
I've got to say yes.
You don't like losing, do you? I can imagine.
No, I don't like losing, but it's the taking part that counts, isn't it?
Oh, well, that's a very good answer. Now, can you tell us about any interesting cases that you've worked on that kind of gives us a very good idea about what you do?
There's been a lot of cases. I have to be quite careful, as you might imagine,
of course,
around
no names.
Confidentiality, no names. But one I've been working on recently is a school case, actually, and it's interesting in terms of the issues, which aren't pleasant. So it basically involved a deputy head at a school, and he was actually accused of 12 counts of sexual harassment for a child under 13. So you can imagine the implications of this for a deputy head, the school, everybody involved. It's been a very difficult matter to deal with. The child wasn't at the school itself, it was a child outside of the school, but it was and has been a very difficult one to deal with in terms of balancing the interests of all the parties again. So I was acting on behalf of the employer and advising the employer, but we then had to act with many other multi-agencies. So for example, we had the police involved, we had the LADO involved. You then had other employees at the school that had to be taken into account. You of course had parents that were becoming aware of this. There was press coverage, so we were having to deal with the press. And the other difficult situation with this was that the individual was initially arrested 2 years ago. So this process has been going on for over 2 years, largely because the court wasn't able to hear the matter and it was postponed twice during this period. Finally, the individual came to court quite recently in the magistrates' court, and it was a 7-day, quite grueling trial. I'm pleased to say he was found not guilty, but that now leads to other difficulties for the school, who are now having to undertake their own investigations because there's a different burden between criminal and employment. So they're now investigating the matter themselves to determine their employment relationship and how to deal with that going forward.
That sounds very challenging.
It was hard, I think, for everyone concerned and everyone involved in that.
Very, very sensitive area that you're dealing with. And I suppose kind of leads me on to the next question, which is, you know, how do you see the major challenges that you could be facing, or in fact employers could be facing, in the next 12 months?
Yes, that's a really good question. So I think, interestingly, again, what you've picked up on in terms of the pandemic and the effects of that pandemic, the knock-on that that has had for many businesses, as you might imagine, we're certainly seeing that come through now in a number of ways. So, for example, recruitment and retention has been largely affected and businesses are having to adjust to deal with that. Many businesses have adjusted, obviously, to remote working. They were forced to do that. Yeah. But now they're having to deal with this coming back to work, coming back to the office. And what we're now seeing is individuals, employees have been used to being at home working, and now they don't want to come back to the office. So how does an employer deal with that? And how do they deal with the flexible working and how that's all going to operate with their requirements and the employees' requirements? So that's presenting some very interesting challenges. The other effect we're seeing of this is the knock-on effect around well-being and how staff have been affected. So I think there's definitely an increase in terms of how staff absences are being dealt with, what the staff absences are, process and procedures, and whereas perhaps businesses have not tended or wanted to deal with those issues and have left them, there's actually now more of a requirement to do that and to deal with things, but there is still a reluctance to do so, because if it's linked with COVID, for example, employers want to be nice, but sometimes they need to deal with these things for their business.
You're kind of writing the rules as you go along, and I suppose my impression is that it kind of merges in with HR as well, doesn't it?
Yes, so very much so, that the HR practices need to take place and be up to date, and it's really important that those are all cohesive and what the business is actually doing on the ground works in practice with those policies and procedures and what HR are doing. There's a massive linkage there, and sometimes that isn't present, and sometimes businesses have policies and procedures but employees aren't aware of them, and that's really important that businesses make sure that there is that linkage.
And your expertise and experience also brings HR into the frame as well.
Yes, so I've worked very closely with a number of HR consultants, and it's really important, as I say, to have that link up. So whilst I'm an employment lawyer and I know about employment law, I've also had hands-on contact with the HR side of things, in terms of I do a lot of policies and procedures, but I've also advised grievance panels, disciplinary panels, various panels, and advice on that side of things, which often means that there's a HR director or a HR individual involved. So I work quite closely with HR individuals.
As I said at the beginning, you must be a really very, very busy person. How many people are in your team, Louise?
At the moment, there's four of us in the team all doing employment work. As you say, we are really busy, and hopefully we will be able to grow that team. And there's lots to come. I think there is going to be lots more coming in the next 12 months as well. And there's lots of employment bills going through, as you may have seen, and as the government keep telling us. So it's going to definitely be a challenging time over the next 12 months. And in that regard, I think, again, it's going to be challenging for employers because of this employment law compliance side of things and looking out for those changes that are to come. For example, we've got 9 employment bills going through Parliament at the moment. They might not be made law, but if they are made law, this is going to have an impact on policies, procedures and contracts. So it's really important that businesses keep abreast of this and up to date with this.
There's a lot of reading for you to do in the next 12 months, I think,
yes,
just to keep up with the new legal changes. And I suppose, with schools in mind over the next 12 months, are there gender issues that you see coming more into the frame?
Not necessarily. I think schools have actually always been very good in terms of dealing with gender issues. There are obviously lots going on in that area, and it's really important to be mindful of that and recognise that. But I think actually that's an area that schools have always dealt with very well. It's probably more of an issue, if I'm honest with you, for other businesses that probably aren't quite so used to dealing with it. So, for example, you know, looking at the use of toilets, to give a bland example. But, you know, schools have actually, most of the schools I ever seen and go into, they already have dealt with that matter. They're quite used to dealing with that, and I think perhaps because, I don't know, it's the younger generation, and so they've been forced into it. But yes, definitely I think something that businesses need to be mindful of again.
Louise, thank you for your time today. You're obviously a bundle of energy, a very strong addition at Warner's Law, heading up the employment law team. Thank you for your time today, Louise.
Thank you, Paul.
So I was joined by Louise Brendland, who is a partner at Warner's Law. Some very interesting information there. Please do check out the other podcasts in this series with Warner's Law. You can gain extremely good, strong legal advice from other lawyers at Warner's Law. I'm Paul Harvey. Please join me next time.
Thank you for listening to this Warner's Solicitors podcast. To find out more about our expert legal teams and the advice and services they deliver for both individuals and businesses, please go to warners-solicitors.co.uk.